This is Jordan Seculo. Today on Jay Seculi, the first two Muslim women elected to Congress call to defund the state of Israel.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Seculo Live.
Today, Reps Omar and Plaskett and I were supposed to be on a congressional trip and delegation to the Palestine and Israel. And such delegations are common occurrence for members of Congress. What is not common occurrence is members of Congress being barred from entering a country on these fact-finding missions unless they agree to strict set of rules curtailing their rights or being required to submit their itineraries for stop-by-stop pre-approval.
Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110.
As legislators, we have an obligation to see the reality there for ourselves. We have a responsibility to conduct oversight over our government's foreign policy and what happens with the millions of dollars we send in aid. So I would encourage my colleagues to visit, meet with the people we were going to meet with, see the things we were going to see, hear the stories we were going to hear.
And now your host, Jordan Seculo.
I don't know, though. Is there a list of which terrorist family you were going to find that you can just say, oh, let's schedule some meetings? Because that's one of the problems that Ilhan Omar and Rashida Tlaib are facing with the overall. And I think one of the reasons the media, especially on the left, wants to downplay this entire press conference like it never happened. So they're not going to be focusing a lot of time, though, because it involves Israel, it involves these two provocative members of Congress. It still will be on in the discussion. But you realize their entire trip was, again, sponsored by a group with a checkered past. They had one other congressional trip before. Five members of Congress who are pretty outside the mainstream, I would say, of even the Democrat Party before Ilhan Omar and Rashida Tlaib. You bring them into the mix, and suddenly those members may not look as extreme because they don't take positions like boycott, divest, and sanction Israel. But they certainly will take trips from groups that do. And these are kind of the members of Congress I think would take trips from basically anyone. They've been long-term backbenchers for the Democrat Party and never been put forward in major leadership roles. So, again, that was kind of where that went. But you're not really allowed to ask questions of these two members of Congress about their backgrounds, about who their family status. And if you do that, you're somehow Islamophobic or racist. I mean, you see all these terms get thrown around. Whether you're Nancy Pelosi or Donald Trump, you get these kind of terms thrown used against you. So you see these members of Congress, they're afraid because if you're – or even the – and on the journalist side as well. We're going to play this press conference for you because Ilhan Omar and Rashida Tlaib have decided to double down on this issue, and the Democrat Party is falling – in pretty much lockstep behind them. I go to Than Bennett, Washington, D.C., but Than, that's probably what is most shocking is that even though that they are, again, whether they're Rashida Tlaib come from the Democrat Socialist Party, so not even from the traditional Democrat Party, with targets on the leadership, that it's clear that if you're running for president as a Democrat, you feel like you've got to at least provide lip service to this group, that this is the up-and-coming left of your party. It may not be the number 1% of your voters right now, but it certainly is when it comes to the foot soldiers, when it comes to the volunteers.
Well, I think at this point, Jordan, the Democrat leadership inside Washington, D.C., and those running for president, they own this problem, Jordan. This is their position now because they specifically have enabled it by refusing to do anything about it. I mean, we talked just yesterday about how Congresswoman Omar was threatening to use her seat on the House Foreign Affairs Committee to target aid to Israel. Jordan, they came out last night and said it directly that they think the United States should draw down on aid to Israel. I do have one correction, though, Jordan. It's not $3 million we give annually to Israel. It's about $3.2 billion. And as we can get into it later in the broadcast, I think every penny was well spent.
Yeah. I mean, you look at the U.S. budget around the world. Most of the countries around the world, they still vote against us, the United Nations. We talked about that before. And the U.S. has brought that up finally at the U.N. But this is a country that stands with us, fights side by side with us, shares the technology with us. And we don't have to beg like we have to do with NATO oftentimes these days. 1-800-684-3110. Support the work of the ACLJ. Remember our matching challenge at ACLJ.org. We'll be right back.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our matching challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org. Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift.
C-SPAN was getting a lot of airtime from it. I mean, I think it was replaying every 15 minutes or so. This was the press conference yesterday with Ilhan Omar and Rashida Tlaib, which is always fun. It's not really a press conference when you talk about these two, I would say, pretty close to Islamic extremists, at least in our executive, that we've seen elected before to our legislative branch at the federal level. I mean, so it's freshman members of the House of Representatives. There's 435, but it's not a state. It's not a state representative part time in a very small district. So it is still, it's getting to that federal level. So on the one hand, yes, they don't have any power to take major action, but they are pushing the Democrat Party and the leadership there to take on extremely hostile roles with the state of Israel, and you're seeing pretty quickly. I'd say very quickly, actually, because of decisions that Israelis make about who they want to be their prime minister, suddenly, if you feel like, well, that person out politically, so we're going to start talking about military funding, which is bigger to the U.S. national security. And, we don't want to have partners around the world, especially in the Middle East, on the front lines of all of these different conflicts that we engage in that oftentimes we ask Israel, don't directly engage. Let us handle this because of political realities on the ground, or vice versa. You got the situation in Syria. It doesn't get reported as much, but Israel has been carrying out almost as many airstrikes on groups affiliated with ISIS and the other groups that were on the other side of that ISIS battle, Iran, Hezbollah, and others. So there's strikes going back and forth. There's projectiles coming in from the Syrian conflict across into Israel's across Israel's border. So this is a very live action zone for conflicts that the United States is engaged in directly. So whether, again, it's Syria, whether it's Iran, this is a partner. It's an ally. Take all of the other historical significance away from the state of Israel. Just put that to a side. An ally who will stand with us and not push us on every aspect of our Middle East policy. We don't have to, in a sense, what we have to do to get these other states to cooperate in that region, which, by the way, most do now because of the threat from Iran and the threat that Russia, Iran, and that kind of coalition has built with China and these kind of wild card players. You see those Gulf states coming together. You see these other countries coming together. much more supportive than they have been in the past. And that's another question you could pose to, you know, these Rashida Tlaib and Ilhan Omar is the truth about the region of the world, whether or not you're trying to liberate Somalia from radical Islamic terrorist functions. And again, it basically fell to the hands of a terrorist state, which is why her family left. Or you're working in the, you know, Palestinian territories, trying to put together any kind of pathway forward that Palestinians might agree to. And that's the honest truth, because we know that the state of Israel will work with us on this. The big question is, what will the Palestinians do other than pay their own members of their that live within those governing groups and pay their families for carrying out acts of terrorism against the state of Israel? We're taking your phone calls at 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. Let's go to the so you can hear the press conference, break it down for you piece by piece, because the way that they talk, the way that they throw, it's a constant barb. They don't get pushed back much from the media. If you do, you're Islamophobic. If you do, you're extremist. I saw one comment from Ilhan Omar. I don't have to answer a question about my personal life. I mean, if you run for Congress, if you're elected, you know, we're all kind of in this, whether you're from the district or not, because we're all taxpayers. We're funding their staffs. We're paying for all these different benefits they receive. And it's, you can ask. I mean, you can ask about your representatives. This is not some private business here. So you can ask about these issues. They may not like the question, no answers to the questions, whether it's who they're married to, their family relationships, everything is cut off right before they're in. So, you know, I used to be married to this guy, and then he got in trouble with the Israelis, and the other guy lives in the UK, and this guy's here, and it's a lot to deal with. But so it's easier for the media just to buy their line, which is we can't really ask about this anymore. And again, I'd say that their hometown newspapers can't figure out these two. And those are not conservative newspapers, because their hometown newspaper is pretty left-leaning. So again, we're taking your phone calls at 1-800-684-3110. But let's go to it and kind of walk people through this. I think one of the most interesting exchanges, which was later on, but was this idea from Rashida Tlaib that when you cross into the border of a different country, you suddenly have to deal with their military. Let's take a listen to this.
Back to that summer 25 years ago, ultimately we did not attempt to visit Palestine. As I mentioned, we were in Amman, Jordan, and we would have tried to cross into the West Bank at a bridge crossing that spans the Jordan River. Under Israel's laws, the decision to allow or to deny our entry would have been made by a heavily armed Israeli soldier. We would have been at their mercy, making ourselves vulnerable to the occupying state of Israel. Ultimately, we did not attempt to visit.
You know, every time I've been to other countries, and I don't know about you, and this was a little different for the United States citizens. You know, this is for most of us in the post 9/11 world. We see that whether it's the heavily police armed presence in our different ports of entry, but especially at the airports, especially at major border crossings. And, you know, we're going through the systems. We got electronic systems. It's a lot of data. It's pretty intrusive, I mean, to enter the United States as a citizen. And when you actually put forward how much info now they can grab just from your scan of your passport, and they're still, you're not like walking right through. These are for the people who have U.S. passports. You're still stopped. You still have to talk to the person. Maybe may take you a half hour, but it's probably not going to take less than that ever coming in. And usually it takes at least an hour and a half. And that's coming in from a pre-planned flight that you've already been cleared through that system, bought the ticket. You have a passport. You have no issues. You're not carrying anything that you need to declare. You're not going through. You're not in the U.S. to do business. You're a U.S. citizen. You get a special line. Sometimes that line's longer. Sometimes that line's shorter. And there's other ways you can make that process quicker for you if you want to submit to more government oversight. And most Americans, though we have sometimes issues with TSA, how they were handling various security matters, the truth is that no one was saying we want less security. So again, this idea that if you're going to visit another country, but see, this is to delegitimize. So that's only a process then if you're visiting a country that somehow illegitimate, because every other country you visit, you have to cross a border. There might be military there. There might be heavily armed police there. It might be something. It's tough to determine. I mean, sometimes our airport, the guy with the camo and the machine gun, you have to look closely to see what branch he may be affiliated with, whether it's NYPD or a special task force that was set up between. I mean, we have lots of different things now. And that line may have worked for her 25 years ago. But we all live in this reality of what Israel has been living in for that time period, which is dealing with the threat of terrorism, dealing with the threat of Islamic terrorism specifically. That's within our country for these 25 years. New.
Jordan, I think only to the far left would the idea of a secure border be shocking. I think if you go all around the world to any civilized nation in the world, you're going to find a secure border. And by the way, that's true for the United States as well, if you consider ports of entry. The debate in the United States has been between ports of entry, where there has been an intentional problem with securing the border. But if you still go through a port of entry, it's very secure. And if you go around the world, it's going to be very secure. The idea that is somehow shocking only pertains to a very few, and you're going to find all of those on the political left. Jordan, the other thing I would say here is I think it is intentionally serving as a distraction from the decision that Israel made. Israel wasn't trying to block her with armed guards. In fact, they said, you want to come visit your grandmother? You can come visit your grandmother. We will grant you that. What we don't want is hostility. The fact that she did not want to accept that humanitarian entry into the country, Jordan, tells me that she actually did want to engage in at least verbal hostility. She was looking to undermine the Israeli government by being present on her soil and advancing these radical ideas. And again, Jordan, I just want to tie it back to the leadership, because that message continues to be enabled inside the Democratic Party, inside Washington, D.C. And until that changes, Jordan, I'm going to continue to hold them responsible for it, because they're the ones elevating it.
I think, you know, and the key here, and anyway, we're taking your calls. A key here is that this idea that you can't question, you can't push any statement they make is somehow fact, which is, it's never really turns out to be the truth. You have to always do two steps past them to figure out what they're really implying or what statement they're making. So in that statement, for instance, that was a time period between two different peace accords. We don't have to get into every detail right this second, but it was an extremely violent time. All the suicide bombings, that was the first wave of that Israel really faced. And so, yeah, it was probably a more difficult time. And still, travel wasn't stopped. Entry wasn't stopped. There might have been an increased border security, but we have that in our country as well. 1-800-684-3110, every major democracy around the world.
Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our matching challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org.
umpires. They have security at their border. They ask us who we're going to be meeting with. If you're going to be meeting with terrorist organizations, you might get some questions about your trip, but not stop completely. If you have some connections there, if you need to visit family. And I thought one of exchanges, and we'll get to this a little bit later in the broadcast, and we're taking your phone calls at 1-800-684-3110, but is how tense even the relationship is between these two members of Congress. You know, this is supposed to be the squad. They're supposed to be together. But Ilhan Omar kind of jumped on all over Rashida Tlaib. Again, I watch it pretty closely because I think that the rhetoric they use, the style that they speak, it's so closely aligned with the Islamic extremist groups. And then the group sponsoring the trip happened to be those groups. But they're undercutting each other as well. So I think Rashida Tlaib was going to go visit her grandmother. And the powers between, because these, again, they're freshman members of Congress. They're getting kind of ushered into these positions. Every politician is to some extent. But their core base, their kind of core support groups are the groups like CARE. And I think it was pretty clear when she said, Rashida should have put this letter before me first. I mean, she's a freshman member of Congress. She's not the committee chair. She's not the state chair. She's not her campaign. But this idea, again, that we would have stopped this or stopped the I want to visit my grandmother for political purposes and have our press conference that we were going to do in Israel, which, by the way, would have been extremely inciting, like we're talking about, and going there to provoke violence in a place where you know that wouldn't be by accident. So it's 1-800-684-3110 if you want to talk to us. This was unique as well from Ilhan Omar, this idea about the funding that goes to Israel, because sometimes they throw out a lot of statements, but the facts don't always align. Even what our government is doing, and this is coming from Ilhan Omar, who's on the Foreign Affairs Committee, so it's not like anyone's hiding this info from her. Take a listen, Byte 7.
All of these actions do nothing to bring us closer to peace. In fact, they do the opposite. They maintain the occupation and prevent a solution to the conflict. Fortunately, we in the United States have a constructive role to play. We give Israel more than $3 million in aid every year. This is predicated on their being an important ally in the region and the only democracy in the Middle East. But denying visit to duly elected members of Congress is not consistent with being an ally. And denying millions of people freedom of movement or expression or self-determination is not consistent with being a democracy.
All right. There's a lot to unpack there, and there's some of that you can't see. So when she said only democracy, she put her hands up in quotes. So that wasn't said like as an actual statement of like truth, which it is. But it was, you know, I guess she prefers kingdoms or Islamic dictatorships in Iran. I don't know. I mean, the Muslim world does agree. It's a pretty diverse world. You can't make one statement about it. They're trying to because they're not actually part of the Islamic faith. I mean, if you actually look at any of their backgrounds, Rashida Tlaib called Allah a woman. If anyone did that, and I worship, I mean, that statement alone is not going to fly in most of that part of the world. But if you're a Palestinian activist, unless you're, by the way, LGBTQ, which they banned in the West Bank yesterday, not Israel, but in the West Bank, the Palestinian Authority, the same week that they were going to be visited by these two very liberal members of Congress, who I'm sure would rally at an LGBTQ event and show up at a gay rights event. But the actual truth, these people that are putting, whether it's, again, we talk about the persecution, the need for a real asylum in the United States, it's by groups like this who put in a government policy that says you can't be affiliated with an LGBTQ group if you are operating within the West Bank. Again, that's not the state of Israel. That's the Palestinian Authority in 2019. That's not Hamas. These are supposed to be the ones you can work with in that region, the governing body that you're supposedly be able to work with, and putting these kind of restrictions in place. You're not going to see that in Israel. You're going to see march just like here. I mean, you have freedom of speech, freedom to take positions on these issues. elect people on these issues. And again, I think that that would kind of contrasted exactly. And it's interesting from the left. You're not going to hear that from Bernie Sanders. You're not going to hear that from Elizabeth Warren. You're not going to hear that from Ilhan Omar, Rashida Tlaib. And it'll all be excused, whether it's the extreme violence that they support, whether it's suicide bombers that they support, 20-year-old girls strapping bombs to themselves, 18-year-old women strapping bombs to themselves, and the families getting reimbursed for doing so. I mean, what ISIS and those groups did is not new to this region. They just filmed it. They didn't just film the statement before it happened. They celebrated all of the violent aspects of it. So they took what Palestinian terrorists have been doing for many decades now against the state of Israel, walking into a coffee shop, walking into a pizza parlor, and blowing yourself up. So we'll take your phone calls on it now. Let's go to Valerie calling from California on line 3. Valerie, welcome to JSEC Yo Live.
Hello, thank you for taking my call. I am a longtime listener, and I am a supporter of the ACLJ.
Thank you.
I appreciate very much what you do, and I pray for you daily. I just want to make a couple of points here, that these two clearly had other motives to go there. The fact that there was just 41 Democratic members of Congress who just visited Israel recently without an incident, without any problems. But she also denied, you know, or refused the approval once it was on humanitarian grounds to visit her grandmother. And she clearly could have visited her grandmother in the past 10 years that she says she has been gone, and she has been able to. But it is just now to make a point, and it is exactly what they're saying. Even when they mention occupying Israel, this stuff just really makes me upset because it is a diversion, it is a lie, it is a stunt. What about all the funds that they have misused, especially in Michigan? You know, Michigan took in Somali refugees, and in order to be humanitarian to them, they overrode a lot of the rules in getting, child care.
It's been a huge issue in Minnesota. These specific places where they're both emanating from are hotbeds of extremism. So whether police don't want to be there or they have to be so careful about if offending, and yet these two, they are unique messengers, but that's what they are. They are messengers. So we come back, we're bringing Harry and Andy to the discussion, and there's a lot to play this press conference, and we want to hear your voices as well. So it's 1-800-684-3110. We have an office in Jerusalem. We had the office in Jerusalem before Rashida Tlaib and Ilhan Omar were in Congress. We'll have it after they're in Congress. But they are pushing the Democrat Party. I don't think it would be worth the time if they were being pushed back by the major Democrat leadership and presidential candidates, then you could write them off as two freshmen. But they are pushing on all these issues because those members of Congress are worried that they'll get primaried, or they are being primaried right now actively by members of their own party, or at least people who are Democrats, socialists. So support the work of the ACLJ. This is our matching challenge month. You double the impact of your donation, and it's really key for us this month of August. ACLJ.org. Donate today.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at ACLJ.org.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live.
As legislators, we have an obligation to see the reality there for ourselves. We have a responsibility to conduct oversight over our government's foreign policy and what happens with the millions of dollars we send in aid. So I would encourage my colleagues to visit, meet with the people we were going to meet with, see the things we were going to see, hear the stories we were going to hear.
And now your host, Jordan Sekulow.
None of what Ilhan Omar, Rashida Tlaib is, I do want to say this, is new for any of us here at the ACLJ. For anybody who's worked on issues with Israel or Israel and Palestinians or all, you know, we've had the office there now for 20 years. So the idea that this is somehow new is not new. It's that the rhetoric is being used by members of Congress who we expect more from in our country. Whether they're our member of Congress and directly represent us or our district, or as a whole, because they are federal and we're funding this, and the fact that you can't ask any questions about these groups, that you can't follow up, the fact that Rashida Tlaib tells New York Times she only goes to the mosque on holidays, and sometimes I say thank her because my Allah is she. Could you imagine making that statement? First of all, even in her own district, which is has got a large Muslim presence, but this idea again in the same territories where you cannot be associated with a gay rights organization in 2019. As of this week, they decided to put that in place. Politically, again, even that decision-making and timing there, when you're getting all this attention as the Palestinian Authority, and you're supposed to be the rational player in that region, you decide to put that forward this week. But again, if you push them on that, they're supposed to be so liberal, my Allah is she, all of this thing. But suddenly when it comes to, you know, suicide bombers, well, they're just opposition forces. So very violent and embracing that and not checking about that. But we're going to go back to the phone. Let's play another one of the sound bites, kind of set this up for people and from the press conference. So I'd say, do we want to start with the statement of just, do we have Ilhan Omar on cutting off Rashida Tlaib when she says, you know, you should have put this forward, you should have cleared this by us, basically? Let's play that.
What I tell Rashida all the time is that you don't ever allow people to enjoy your tears.
She says, stop giving your tears.
I say that all the time. There are so many people invested in our pain, in our struggle, in seeing us broken.
And bow down.
And the one thing that is important to me more than anything as we fight for the most marginalized people is that we have our internal liberation carry us to external liberation. And there is no way. No, I told Rashida, before you send that letter, you should have called me. There is no way. There is no way that we are ever going to allow people to tear us down, to see us cry, not, you know, out of pain, to ever make us feel like our certificate is less than theirs. So we are going to hold our head up high, and we are going to fight this administration and the oppressive Netanyahu administration until we take our last breath.
I mean, until we take our last breath, like someone's physically... That's not the issue here. Member of Congress, you should fight for the issues of your constituents. That's wonderful. Every step, there's so many troubling aspects of that, these exchanges. And breaking it down, you could do sentence by sentence, but run this by us. And that was said very tensely as well, even though kind of like nervous laughter going over that and the shouting back and forth. No one wants to see people crying, but if they're doing it and they're pretty fake about it and they're smiling afterwards for the cameras, you can question it. Again, they are elected officials. We hold them accountable. We can all hold them accountable. It's nothing wrong with doing that. It doesn't make you a racist or Islamophobic to ask questions. 1-800-684-3110. We'll be right back on Jay Sekulow Live. Support the work of the ACLJ at aclj.org.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our Matching Challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org. Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift.
See, we were just talking about this in the break. Just getting to their point, you know, it's not so easy. It's no one pushes these members of Congress. They can take, you know, 3-minute responses, and we're trying to break it down for you here on the broadcast because there's no way anybody watches, you know, and the length of time just to make one statement is so long and so many different facets of it that you could break down every 5 words that they use. I think it's either extremely intentional and both reckless at the same time. I think that's probably the case. I don't think it's an unintentional mistake to have these press conferences. And I think the key for Ilhan Omar and Rashida Tlaib would have been having this press conference on the Temple Mount in East Jerusalem and see really what kind of trouble you could stir up and with your tears or violence and working with groups who, praise those who decide to strap bombs themselves and kill civilians visiting Israel indiscriminately or citizens of the state of Israel. But I want to go to Harry and Andy who are here, and they've been kind of wading through this as well. Let me go first to Andy. This again, every statement is pretty insightful in the region. Whether it's using the grandmother as a prop, whether it's using all those different, it doesn't take much to light the match there.
No, and that's exactly what they're trying to do, is to light the match and to incite people to violence and to hatred of Israel and to hatred of things that are Israeli and to hatred of ultimately of the democracy that they claim, although she made her little hand signal in quotes, exists in the Middle East. But this idea of, and I read something that said that Tlaib is how you actually pronounce it, who said that her family had endured so many horrible hardships, including her mother's treatment going through checkpoints, begging to be given access to, quote, the best hospitals, which were in Jerusalem when her grandmother was in a car accident, and seeing tanks and guns on street corners. Well, I happen to have visited the Hadassah Hospital in Jerusalem on one of the several visits that I have taken to Israel, and it is full of Muslims and Arabs seeking treatment and getting treatment from the best of the Israeli doctors who are at Hadassah Hospital. And the same thing that I saw when I was in Istanbul, when I took students there on a tour, and they ended up in the Turkish hospitals, and they were Americans, and the doctors were Muslims, but they're giving aid and comfort to American citizens. So these little talking points, these little statements that she makes, which I think she is making in her head in Arabic and translating to English, that's what I think she's doing, because I don't think she's fluent in English, so she's making a transliteration in her head, are really, as you said, things that incite and are intended to incite violence, which asks this then question: why in the world would a sovereign state like Israel or France or America or England or Mozambique or any country in the world allow you to come in when you are saying things like you should not be an Israeli state, you are not free, you are a fake and pseudo-democracy, we don't accept you, we don't support you? Of course I don't want them in.
Yeah, I mean, this... The idea, Harry, you go to the idea, you know, till our last breath, and very similar to sacrificing life for their cause, which is what the organization sponsoring the trip said about suicide bombers, teenage girls who were being used as suicide bombers by the Palestinian Authority, and of course their families being reimbursed by the Palestinian Authority. So as Andy's, some of this, you would think it'd be off-putting to liberals to say, may God punish the President of the United States. But you know, they're embracing that from... Rashida Tlaib's grandmother supposedly saying that to the media. And this idea of whether it's a deity going after an elected official in the United States who's duly elected, or these statements that they make about themselves as fighting for this cause, it is pretty extreme. I think what's more extreme is not that these people exist in our country where you have freedom of speech and you have these groups, but Harry, the idea that they're elected to Congress, that they're not just a local city council member in Michigan or Minnesota.
Well, I think that is correct. And I think it's important to establish that liberals, particularly leftists, are prepared to engage in a short-term calculus with respect to embracing the most radical elements within their midst. And so here we have Representative Omar, who states rather poetically that internal liberation leads to external liberation. In reality, of course, this is simply a highly provocative, highly Marxist, highly postmodern form of sloganeering that at the end of the day fails to obscure the fact that Representative Omar and Representative Tlaib are engaged in a campaign of subversion. They are engaged in a campaign of anti-Israel bigotry and anti-Semitic hatred. And they then claim that all they are trying to do, of course, is engage in legislative oversight. In reality, both Representative Omar and Tlaib have essentially obscured Democratic leadership. And to some extent, they now hold the Democratic Party captive to their rhetoric. And I think at the end of the day, this campaign led by Representative Omar and Tlaib will backfire, and it should.
All right, let's go to the phones. Ryan's been holding on from Nevada. Doesn't agree with us, but we take those kind of calls on this broadcast, as we say, and we make good on it. Ryan, welcome to JSecio Live. You're on the air.
Thank you. A couple of points. One, I think you guys got to know this all started because they were invited to Israel by the government under Israel and Palestine. The Israelis were invited there. And then because of President Trump sticking his nose through Twitter into it, you got the Israel government all riled up.
The President of the United States can put his nose, whatever you want to say. He can comment. I mean, he's a President of the United States, elected by the people to be our chief, our commander-in-chief. Agree with him or not, he has the same freedom of speech rights you do, and can send a signal to our ally if he, you know, as the, you might disagree with it. You can have your voice, your election. You don't like the style, you don't like the policy, but let's not, I don't really want to get down that, you know, if you want to make statements, but if you're going to start condemning the president for speaking, then you have fundamentally misunderstood the Constitution of the United States to begin with.
No, I'm not condemning. I'm just saying this, the whole chain of events, and then the next.
Well, I think if you were Israel, I would just say this right, real quick, and then you go back. I'm going back to you. I'm not cutting you off. But if you're Israel and you're number one, the country you work with the most, even if you would like to have done this, you probably wouldn't. you probably would let these members in, even with the threat they would pose, if you weren't getting support from the chief executive of our country, because we have that tight of a bond. So, I mean, I get it in this instance. I mean, I see what you're saying, that you're trying to say that the president pushed them into this with his tweet, but it's a tweet at the end of the day. I mean, it is a tweet. Yes, it's from the president of the United States. He has the right to do it. But you would probably do that, too, if you were the country with 7 million people and you were kind of waiting to get an indication, whether or not it was a phone call or a tweet. I mean, I don't think that that's so weird.
Okay. And then once the tweet came through, the Israel government yanked away their permission of letting the two congresswomen to lead Psalm into Israel to speak with the Palestinians in Israel. And then,
well, that's key too. I think that was key too. They were not going to meet with any Israeli officials. They weren't trying to get educated on the issue. It all comes down, and also the group. I mean, I'll let you keep going, but I feel like you're just reading off a sheet of paper, and so you didn't respond to anything I said about the tweet. So you said okay. So I'll let you go one more time, but then if you're just reading, off the line you go. I'm glad you waited. I gave you the chance, but when you just go through point to point, you don't even respond. We kind of get an indication of where you're going from there. So we like real opposition on the broadcast. 1-800-684-3110, because any of you out there listening could just read that back to me, and we don't need to do that and use our airtime for that. Let me one thing we do need to use our airtime for, and that's because of all the work that we do. I think we talk about these issues. We get very familiar with the medical systems in many countries around the world because we spend a lot of time there. If you spend enough time there, likely something will happen, or somebody that you know happens that has to, whether it's emergency care or anything that you may need. Because when you're visiting one of these countries, where do you go if you get sick? Hospital. You don't necessarily have a local medical connection, or it may be late at night. It likely is if you're traveling off times. So you get more familiar with these. May not do it if you only spend 5 days in a place once, but if you spend the kind of time that we do, it will likely be the case that you get fairly familiar, and you know the people. We have staff, again, our team in Israel at ACLJ Jerusalem is also, they've served the government, they've served the military. So this is key for us. It's very personal for us. That's why we're spending the time on it today, and we encourage you to support the work that we do. We're not just talking about these issues. These are issues that we fight on every day. We have the office right there in Jerusalem. Because of your financial support to the ACLJ, we can have that office. This is a great time to support us. Double the impact of your donation at ACLJ.org the entire month of August.
Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our matching challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org.
Well, let's go right to phones, 1-800-684-3110. Let me take this call from Scott in Colorado, because I think this was key. There was one question on it and the pushback. Scott, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live. You're on the air.
Okay, Jordan, thanks for my call. Yeah, just wanted to make a point and then end with a question. What the media is not telling us is what Benjamin Netanyahu pointed out, that these two members of the squad, they called their destination Palestine and not Israel, and they didn't want to meet with any Israeli officials.
Yeah.
But in 2017, Israel did pass a law banning entry of any activist or student who supports the BDS movement. So it's very logical. But I learned today, how destructive is it now that I just learned that senior members of Congress now want to censure and investigate the U.S. ambassador to Israel that supported this ban?
Yeah. Well, that's the key, is that's where they're getting traction. So I want to play this. This is Scott, Nancy Pelosi, just a year ago. Chuck Schumer's there, major backers of, one, that Israel and pro-Israel groups, but also Democrat politicians in the past. But take a listen. This is Nancy Pelosi. Sounds like this is the one bipartisan issue right in the United States, a firm bond, firm commitment. Let's take a listen.
I have said to people when they ask me, if this Capitol crumbled to the ground, the one thing that would remain is our commitment to our aid. And I don't even call it aid, our cooperation with Israel. That's fundamental.
I mean, this was said, Netanyahu is the prime minister. He's been the prime minister before. You know, before Donald Trump, could be because of the way that their legal system, could be after. It's a different system of government. And I'll go to Andy and Harry on this, because Andy, this was the operating policy. It wasn't an issue. Again, I think people did care about the Israel issue and care about the stance, but there was not a lot of distance really between Republicans and Democrats, at least when it came to the bottom line, the standing with Israel, regardless of who the political leader was there at the time.
That's right. There was unity of purpose with respect to Israel, support of Israel, both by Republicans and Democrats. And you heard that from Nancy Pelosi, and it's a very positive and powerful statement. Now, along come these two Muslim-American congresswomen, Muslim, I emphasize, American, I de-emphasize, who now come in and try to inject themselves between this unity between Republicans and Democrats by saying that they don't support Israel. This is a radical departure from the position taken by the United States. And their protest that they're going over there to do legislative oversight is nonsense. They're not going to do – that's a fake statement. They're going over there to incite. They're going over there and they're saying that we want to meet with Palestinians. Well, guess what? Palestine has not existed since World War I, when it was a mandate given to the Allied countries after World War I to administer. It is now the state of Israel. When you say Palestine, it is a slap in the face to Israel, because you are essentially saying, I don't recognize your existence. I don't recognize the fact that there is a country known as Israel that was founded and established in 1948. We don't recognize that. We don't accept that. So they are driving a wedge between the Republicans and Democrats and Pelosi and those who have consistently supported Israel, and that is a very obvious fact.
But, Harry, we do know, especially you've come from the university setting, you see the real left in America, which was not necessarily represented by the Democrat Party. That's why you have the Democrats, Socialists of America, and these other groups which now are moving in, and Bernie Sanders was kind of the first wave of that, wasn't fully successful. May not be again, but they're pushing every step of the way. People who would have been so far outside the mainstream a few years ago, and suddenly they are, you know, whether they're second place in the presidential primary and giving Hillary Clinton a run, or now Joe Biden a run, but their ideas have infected, I would say, the entire party. So
Absolutely.
It's not just Bernie Sanders has this position on Israel now, or Rashida Tlaib and Ilhan Omar. It's people like Nancy Pelosi who a year ago would have said, it's not even aid to Israel, it's cooperation because of how closely we work with the military. The non-political leaders in Israel, the day-to-day, you know, like the military and the functions that will be in place regardless of who's in charge politically.
Democratic leaders in the past strongly supported Israel and strongly opposed anti-Semitism. But increasingly, their message is obscured by members of the squad. And it appears that increasingly, the Democratic leadership prefers to remain deaf and mute with respect to the statements made by Representative Omar and Representative Tlaib. But I think it's clear beyond question, or there used to be a bipartisan consensus, that Israel had the right to do everything in its power to protect the existence of the Israeli state. And so denying the right to visit Israel by individuals who are associated with a pro-terror organization is part of Israel's sovereign right to protect its right to exist and to prevent provocation by individuals who hate the very existence of an independent Jewish state. Terror is an ever-present threat. Israelis wake up every day and face an existential threat. They've gone through three major wars. They have been victimized by numerous intifadas, and a new intifada could be launched at any time. Rockets could be launched at any time. And so Israelis are under threat virtually every single day, and it used to be the case that there was a strong bipartisan consensus in support of our only true ally in the Middle East, an ally that benefits us as well as the Israelis. But now this consensus increasingly is in doubt, and you have more and more members of the media, left-wing media, who are launching unbridled attacks on individuals who support the existence of an independent Jewish state going forward.
You know, when it comes to, they couldn't censure Ilhan Omar, remember, for anti-Semitism. All about the Benjamins. Remember that statement? Which is one of many. But then now they're talking about condemning the ambassador from Israel. But also, I think in their guise, they want to condemn our ambassador as well, because that's how Nancy Pelosi will vote yes on it. Is, oh, see, we're condemning Trump people, not just the Jewish state of Israel's ambassador.
It's a distraction, Jordan. I mean, Harry's right that there used to be a bipartisan consensus on this, and Speaker Pelosi's clip that you played shows that there's still a verbal bipartisan consensus. But, Jordan, if there's actual consensus, I mean, there's something that Speaker Pelosi needs to do, because there is an active member of her caucus now speaking directly against her strong statement from last year saying that we need to defund Israel. Jordan, if that's not the Speaker's position, she needs to re-up that statement that she made last year. Rather than distracting about condemnations to ambassadors that didn't make this decision, she needs to go into her own caucus and lay down the law about where her caucus stands when it comes to this partnership with Israel.
Since day one on this, we've stood with Israel. We stood with the decision there. We told you that the group, once you start digging, is going to be have a lot of issues. That was just from our quick assessment. You could tell very quickly, looking at their website and the statements and the way that they were using the English language. Support the work of the ACLJ. That's ACLJ.org.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at ACLJ.org.